Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. Reassurance is knowing our pensions will be supporting you in the years ahead. Speak to a financial broker about a Zurich pension today.
Now, it might be known as the King Kong of weight loss drugs, but Mounjaro won't become available to public patients anytime soon. Eli Lilly, the makers of Mounjaro, have said they'll work with the HSC to explore solutions that enable patients to access it here. A study by the National Centre for Health Economics has said it would not be value for money at the current price. Professor Michael Barry, clinical director at the National Centre for Pharmacoeconomics, was on Morning Ireland today. The figure he quoted was staggering.
You know, up to now, we thought an expensive drug would be, you know, measured in maybe 20, 30, 40, 50 million over 5 years. This, at the license indication for the whole population, would be about 5.23 billion. Okay. I've never seen anything like this.
5.23 billion. Now, anyone out there would be interested in getting your experience of this. Are you paying? Are you leaving the jurisdiction to buy Mounjaro? Are you taking your chances online, which is of course not advised, or are you simply shut out of the system and waiting for something else like Saxenda? 0870 32 32 32 for your WhatsApps, 51551 for your text. But for more on this, we're joined by Dr. Brian Turner, health economist with Cork University Business School. Brian, good evening to you.
Good evening, Tom.
Patients under private prescription have been able to access Mounjaro and pay full whack for it since last May. But when we look at the potential cost to the public purse, we just heard Michael Barry say there, making it available to everyone would cost over 5 billion. In terms of calculating the cost-benefit analysis on this, what factors are in play?
So I suppose the way a health economic evaluation works, and this is what the National Centre for Pharmacoeconomics would have done with this, as they do with other drugs or medical devices that come onto the market, is that they look at the additional effectiveness compared with what it's replacing, and they look at the additional costs compared with what it's replacing. And essentially they come up with a figure for what's known as an incremental cost effectiveness ratio. So in other words, how much additional cost is there going to be per what's known as an additional quality adjusted life year. So that's the measure of effectiveness. So for example, if a new drug will keep somebody alive for an additional year in perfect health, that'll be one quality adjusted life year. If it would keep them alive for 2 years at about 50% of full health, then that would be another quality adjusted life year. So essentially they look at it in that way. And the threshold against which they benchmark it is €45,000 per quality adjusted life year. So if it's below that level, then it's deemed cost effective. If not, it's not deemed cost effective. Now, obviously, it's not a kind of as kind of a simple cutoff as, you know, 44,999 is fine, but 45,001 we won't reimburse it. But you know, that's essentially their marker in terms of what they're looking for.
Okay, and other factors then in play are going, if the person gets this drug, how much will it save the health service in treatment of a chronic condition, and that over time, is it?
Exactly. And Michael Barry said on Morning Ireland this morning that they did take the vast majority of those future savings into account when they did their economic evaluation of this particular drug. So, you know, they did kind of look at that and say, OK, the costs will be quite high initially, but the savings will accrue over a longer term. But we look at both of those, and they still found that it was not cost effective. Okay. Based on the existing quoted price. But as Michael Barry said in his interview this morning, there's usually a bit of negotiation that goes on after the event to bring the price down, which would bring it into the cost-effective territory, essentially.
Okay, so what's the calculation at play then, you know, where you have to be, say, pre-diabetic to get Saxenda? Is that pre-diabetic, based on a blood test, being the overriding criterion on that? What is it about being pre-diabetic that they think they're going to save a lot from by giving people that drug?
Yeah, so I suppose one of the reasons, and again, this 5.23 billion euro figure has kind of taken a lot of people by surprise. And I suppose one of the factors there is that's based on the cost per dose, but also the potential number of people who could be eligible. So based on the manufacturer's indications, you know, it could be up to, as Michael Barry was saying, 800,000 to 900,000 people in Ireland could be potentially eligible for it. So On a cost per dose basis, it's not the most expensive medicine that is being reimbursed, but it's combining that with the number of people who could be eligible.
Okay.
So I suspect what is likely to happen is a kind of a two-pronged approach whereby, number one, the HTC will go back to the manufacturer and negotiate a lower price. Now, we'll never find out what that is because that probably would be commercially sensitive. And number two, the second prong of the approach would be, I suspect, they'll gradually roll it out. So beginning with the most acute cases, and then as the cost comes down over time, they might roll it out to additional cohorts. So right. it certainly won't happen immediately, but I would imagine that, you know, some people will have it reimbursed at some point next year.
Okay,
albeit not everybody who may be eligible for it.
Okay, people might have heard, and I don't know whether you heard it yourself, but Professor Donal O'Shea, the HSE clinical lead on obesity, was on the news at one earlier on this, addressing some of what you were talking about there. Let's have a listen to him.
Any health budget in the world would be crippled immediately if they made this drug available to everybody who we know would benefit from it. That's the people living with obesity. And the people that have been studied would have a BMI of over 30. And that's 25% of the adult population. So you cannot give an expensive drug to 25% of the adult population. You have to start with the people who have the most severe, most complex disease, use it there, show the effectiveness, and then make it more available to more people as the price comes down. And inevitably, the price will come down when generic treatments become available.
So is it a waiting game then, Brian, basically, for a drug like this to come off patent? Or, as you say, do the hard negotiations start now with a hope to kind of get this at a lower price, but hardly 73% lower?
Yeah, 73 is probably quite a significant reduction. Now, as Michael Barry said, look, there have been situations where they've got significant reductions, maybe not to that extent, but significant reductions. And I think the 73% figure he quoted was for the lower dose. So there might be a kind of a lesser reduction required for the higher dose. But I suspect that, yes, the negotiations will begin pretty much immediately, and they will take some time. But Donal O'Shea was also saying, I heard that interview earlier on, and he also mentioned that as things stand, the medication is available in injectable form only. So he said, look, as it changes and as it becomes maybe available in tablet form, that will reduce the cost significantly because, as he pointed out, a lot of the cost at the moment is for the injectable device rather than just the medication itself. But I think he's right in saying that, look, no health system in the world could kind of cope with that level of additional costs. I mean, to put it into perspective, so the 5.23 billion euro figure, no, that was over 5 years. So we were talking just over €1 billion a year on this drug. So the overall health budget for 2026 is just a little bit over 25 billion a year. So you're talking about 4% of the entire health budget. Or to put it another way, if we look at how much the primary care reimbursement service spent on drugs last year, to pharmacists, and those excluding the pharmacist fees, they spent about 1.23 billion euro in 2024. So you'd be talking about roughly doubling the entire drug spend of the PCRS on this one drug. So that's why the system just couldn't cope with that level of additional expenditure. But I suspect a graduated approach and negotiations to reduce the price per unit would be what we'll likely see.
Okay, well, we're also joined on the line by Dr. Ilona Duffy, who's a GP in Monaghan. You've been listening to that. Ilona, thanks for waiting patiently on that. We have a text from a listener here saying, on Ozempic going on 18 months, I've lost 35 kilograms, 74 down from 109, total game changer, not cheap, 189 a month, but my appetite is small. I save a lot of money on food, she says, worth every penny. But, you know, some people are paying 300, some people are paying 400 for a higher dose. I mean, what are you seeing with patients who come in looking for a prescription and how sustainable it is then to pay for that?
Well, I think, you know, it's so out there that everybody is aware of these drugs. And for those who are carrying extra weight and perhaps also aware that they're at higher risk of heart disease, of diabetes, you know, naturally they want to get the drugs to help themselves and to help their health. And it's very difficult because we're having to explain to them, well, yes, these are available, but there is a cost and you will have to pay it. As you mentioned already, only one of the drugs, Saxenda or liraglutide, is covered with the medical card scheme and or the drugs refund scheme. And that's only if you meet set criteria. So as you already mentioned, you have to be pre-diabetic and your weight has to be in the obese range and you have to have other risk factors. So of the 24,000 applications that have been made by GPs into the PCRS, into the HSE system for approval, only 5,000 people are actually on these drugs and having them approved. So that shows how tight those guidelines are for it. But people are arriving into us and they're, number one, asking us to prescribe it, or number two, they're telling us that they're getting it, be it online or going, I'm here in Monaghan, so many people cross the border and are accessing it there, which has its good points and its bad points. But I think the big thing is the cost is huge and our concerns always are, will they be able to maintain paying for this medication and remain on it for the length of time they're going to require it?
What's the cost difference that you're looking at? I mean, the difference between, you know, I think, say, somebody could progress up the dosage range and be paying about 300 quid a month for this. Over the border, what's the price difference? What are they travelling across to save?
Well, the price difference had been quite large. It had been nearly half the price to go across the border, but that has changed because of new tariffs imposed by the USA. So the prices have kind of nearly come up to not being that much less. And especially in the likes of Mounjaro, where the highest dose can be up to €450 a month if you're on the really high dose. I suppose semaglutide, which would be kind of Ozempic in the lower doses because it's for diabetes, or Wegovy is the version for weight loss, which goes up to 2.4 milligrams, so much higher dose than the Ozempic doses. And that would be in the order of probably about €300 a month here, probably maybe working at about 200 sterling, 220 sterling. So there is some cost savings, but obviously it's difficult. You have to travel for it and those cost savings are likely to become less and less.
And are you coming across patients who are risking going online to try and access this?
Frighteningly, yes. We're seeing many patients who are coming into us and reporting that they are getting it online. Some of them from websites in other countries and having it delivered perhaps to a post office address in the north, some having it delivered by post to themselves. And as we know, these medications are injectable and have to be kept refrigerated to maintain that temperature. If they're out of the fridge, they may not be working as well. They may become deactivated. But probably more importantly, we can't be sure that they're on a valid website and they're actually getting a medication that is true, and they may be getting something completely different, which may actually be dangerous.
Do you have a situation, though? I mean, people may feel it unfair. They may be prescribed, you know, a medication by, you know, a doctor, or getting a medication on the medical card, the likes of antidepressants or antipsychotics, which are causing weight gain. And then they can't mitigate that, or they certainly can't get a drug that would mitigate that paid for on the drugs payment scheme.
I think it's very hard for people because, again, they're gaining weight. They're trying everything in their lifestyle to change that. And that's one of the problems we have, even with regards to the HbA1c, the blood test for the pre-diabetes. So many of them are trying so hard with their diet, but still struggling to lose weight. And as you said, certain medications and treatments are on, including cancer treatments, may cause people to gain weight. And they know that that's potentially affecting them, giving them an increased risk of heart attacks, strokes, diabetes and other cancers. So it's very difficult for patients to know that there is something out there, a medication, and that they can't access it. And again, that's a challenge for us because many people don't understand that it's not covered and that they would have to pay it for it. And many people don't understand that it's not just a matter of going on the medication, losing the weight and then being able to stop it. Unfortunately, what we now know is that you will have to remain on the medication long term. And that's the big thing. People saying, well, look, I'll find the money from somewhere to pay for it, to lose my weight. But then when they realise actually you can't stop it, you have to continue on, that's where the real problem arises, because we know in many of those patients, once they stop the medication, the weight creeps back on again.
All right. My thanks to Dr. Ilona Duffy, GP in Monaghan, and earlier to Dr. Brian Turner, health economist with Cork University Business School.